Jesus was always teaching a lesson. Either by what he said or by what he did. And he's teaching us in this one. And he's talking to his disciples, and something to be said there. To the church he's speaking to the believers he's talking to. So that's the way we approach this. The believer that prays to God shall get what he or she asks if they will not leave the throne of God. If they will not go away, if she will not let God alone. The whole point is that the person who prays must be sincere, must pray fervently, must pray constantly, and must be persistent in seeking the face of God for whatever he or she wants. The person who prays is to continue asking for what they are in need of. Ask, and it shall be given you. But if asking you do not receive it, then seek, and ye shall find. But if seeking you do not receive it, then he said, knock, and the door shall be open. We must mean what we pray. And the way we show God our sincerity is by continuing to ask for what we stand in the need of. Gonna take you back to Sunday school this morning. If you don't know him up close and personal, if you have not fallen in love with him, you might not get what you're asking for. Yes, he is God, but he's not stingy with his blessings, but you got to be his. You got to have been adopted into the family of God. You have to be adopted into the family of God. Point number one. The great duty is to persevere in prayer. That's the duty of the believer. The duty of the believer is not to quit. It's to stay with it. Don't give up and don't give in. Stay right there. Jesus was strong and forceful in stressing the believer's duty to persevere in prayer. In the church today, there is a need for perseverance in prayer. For prayer over a long period of time is not to give in and become discouraged. God's people are to pray and keep on praying until Christ returns. Don't quit. You can have the best soup that there is in the world on your stove cooking. If you turn it off before it gets done, you don't have what you would have had if you would have kept the heat in it. It's the same way with going before God. God wants to bless us with what we stand in the need of. But we have to persevere because it does not matter how long he may be delayed. He's on the way. Blessings delayed are not blessings denied. Sometimes you just gotta stay there. Some of us are old enough to remember when they used to have the revivals, they'd put you on the mourner's bench. And you had to stay there until you felt like, or they felt like, the Holy Spirit had indwelled within you. That's the way it is with praying with God. You just got to stay there. You got to tarry. He's coming. He's on the way. But sometime you just got to show me that you love me. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. By staying with me, even when it seemed like I have ignored you. And I know most of us have been there with our significant others that at times we thought they wasn't thinking about us. We did everything we thought we knew how to do to encourage them to love us and we loved them back, but it just didn't seem to make a difference. Whoa, but 20 years down the road. Yeah, you're still there. So something must have happened along the way because you did not quit. Might have called her and asked her for a date and she hung up on you. Who in the world is that on the other end of the phone? Oh, but you didn't quit. You stayed right there. Blessings delayed are not blessing denied. The words "to this end and all" have an idea of necessity. It's necessary. It's absolutely necessary that man perseveres in prayer. Word "always" mean all the time. You said, "Baggett, but I got to go to work." You can pray there too. As you're doing what you're doing in your job, have that silent conversation with God that nobody else can hear but God. You know how it is now. We used to have party lines on the phone. If you had a phone call, phone line when it wasn't but two parties on it, you were somebody. But now we got it where we can have isolation on our phone call. And God have always had that where you could talk to him and nobody else could hear you talking to him. God is there. Listen, it's necessary for us to do that. And that's how we persevere in prayer. Always mean that we constantly talking with God. The believer is to develop a constant spirit of prayer to maintain the relationship that's between them and God. That's why I know that although a lot of people don't stand up and pray in public, it doesn't mean they don't pray. I said this before and I'll say it until he takes it out of my spirit. I believe the most answered prayers are those prayers that nobody hears but God. You don't have to tell nobody else that you're praying, but you got to be living in the will of God in order for God to answer your prayer. We need to maintain an unbroken consciousness of God's presence. You need to know that if you're talking to God, you are in his presence. And it does not need to be something that you only know you can get in his presence when you are with everybody else. You need to know that you can get in the presence of God with nobody there but you. All you got to do is call him up. We need to practice being in the presence of God. We need to know that God will come and tabernacle with us if we invite him and we get our heart right. He wants to come and live within you. You have to invite him, and that is by constant prayer. He says, pray and not to faint, meaning to lose heart, to turn coward, to give up, to give in to evil. It's just so enticing with evil for you to want to go there and do that. And 99% of the time, or most of the time, it will be something you've done before. And, well, I done it before and I walked away from it. I can do it again. Mm-hmm. No, don't ever go back to where you've been if it's wrong. If it's wrong, because it's going to be better the second time around. Oh, you know it's true. The second helping of chicken and dumplings is always better than the first helping. It's always better. So you just get one and you let it alone. You get forgiven and you don't go back, because it is enticing, because I've been there before. Don't give in to sin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. We need to be in constant prayer. We need to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This flesh is weak, so therefore that's Matthew chapter 26, 41. But we need to understand that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. But if you give in, if you allow the flesh will take you to where you don't need to be. Are your prayers in the dead prayer pile? Point number two. There is power in persevering prayer. There's power in perseverance even in the business world, in the world that we are in every day, and in the judicial affairs of men. There's power in persistence. If you stay with it, they tell you, you will eventually win. I think they said Abraham Lincoln was defeated about 5 or 6 times before he ever won, but he stayed with it and eventually got to be president of the United States of America. What are you saying, Baggett? Stay with it. It's not that God's not listening, but you just got to stay with it. There is power in perseverance in prayer. There was this unjust judge. The Bible says he had no fear of God, nor cared even less for what man said or the opinion of man of him. The idea is that the judge took bribes and gave special favors to persons who held positions and was in authority. He was out to fill his pockets and to gain honor and esteem and recognition and position from those who were influential and held positions of power and wealth. That's the kind of man that was in the position of judge. But there was this poor widow woman without money to bribe him, without any influential friends to encourage him. To the judge, she was just a widow woman, a woman all alone in a man's world, with no man and no money to secure legal counsel to plead her case. She held no position of authority, no right to commend, no right to commend her to the judge. She was persecuted, being taken advantage of, and abused by some adversary. But she let none of this stop her. She came to the judge and asked him to avenge her, to get rid of her adversary. The judge did like a lot of us do sometimes when people come to you. We're silent. We just don't say anything. Didn't move, didn't act like what she was saying meant anything to you, because it really didn't. Didn't want to help her. His heart was hard, and he was a harsh man, a businessman. He had no interest in helping anyone who it would not benefit him. Have you ever seen him? Has it ever been you? When someone else was in need and you could have assisted them and you just turned a deaf ear because it would not advance you in what you were trying to do. This man was not interested in helping anyone that would not benefit him. Him or his career or fill his pocket. The point is this. It says in the passage, he would not for a while listen to the woman. But the poor widow woman just kept right on coming. And coming and pleading and pleading. She would not let the judge rest. The judge did not fear God, did not regard man's opinion about him. He had enough of the people in authority on his side. Well, he did not see a need to help the widow. I read and studied for this about it said that she went to his office the first day. He told her, I don't have any way that I can help you. I just can't do anything for you. The next day she was there at his door. Sitting in his office, they're bright and early in the morning. The secretary told him, said, that same widow woman is out here again today. He said, well, said, I tell you what you do, said, and then she gonna leave. He said, tell her I can't see her till lunchtime. She said, judge, she brought her lunch with her. Said, so she's prepared to stay all day. So he stayed to lunch. She stayed to lunchtime and he saw. He still told her, said, I can't help you. This went on for 3 or 4 days. And about the 4th or 5th day, she came to his office. He had had a conversation with himself. The Bible says he said within himself, if I don't help this woman, she gonna worry me constantly. She gonna constantly stay on my case. And I need to help her to get her out of my hair. He didn't say this out loud or didn't say it to anybody else because he didn't want them to know that she was weakening him down. It says in the Greek literary book, it says the words that's used in that said, he said, if I don't help her, she's gonna give me a black eye. Meaning that she was going to embarrass him in front of all the people that thought he was somebody. And he did not want to be embarrassed. Least she weary me out. She wear him out. I just told you what it said. See, sometimes you just got to stay there even when it looked like there is no help. That's why sometimes we have to stay on our knees and keep praying and talking to God. Because it seemed like he turned a deaf ear. But I stopped by to tell you, don't worry. Just go ahead on and keep praying and talking to God and come out of your flesh. This widow woman, she refused to let the judge go. She kept him at his word. He was supposed to help her and she kept him, made him keep what he was supposed to do. Point number 3, the lesson in persevering in prayer. The unjust judge holds a great lesson for the believer. See, that's why I tell you sometimes you can learn from people that are constantly doing wrong. If you just stay with God and God will come by to help you. God avenge his elect who persevere in prayer. The elect of God are on God's own elect. Elect mean that you're somebody and that you are all right with God. God got all believers in a place where if they just stay with him, they will come out on top. The followers are his dear sons, and God will avenge his elect. This indicate that they are troubled. There's not too many of us that have not had trouble in our lives sometime or other when we didn't know whether we were going or coming. But if you stay with God, if you just stay with him, it seems like you're beating your head against the wall, but keep butting it against the same wall, and let the wall where you butt your head be the word of God. If you stay with him, God will provide. See, God has a need to avenge those that are that have been delivered from sin, and that are his, and that are being ridiculed, and that are being ignored, and that are being abused, and that are being passed over, and that are being criticized. When you don't know where else to go, I tell you where to go. You can go to God in prayer. Don't quit, because the reason God avenges his elect is because we persevere in prayer. When it seems like your prayers are not getting above, as they say, above the ceiling, don't worry about it. Just keep staying there. God will stop by to see about you. What you need to do is pray day and night. You have a need. God recognizes that, and God alone can meet the need of this woman. If she would have quit, it would have all been over. Her adversaries would have conquered her, but she did not quit. Brothers and sisters, you can't quit. You just got to stay there, because God will provide just what you need, but you got to stay there. God is long-suffering. He won't let you stay any longer than you need to be, but he can stand. I believe he looks at us and sees it. Well, I wonder how long is he gonna stay. I know it doesn't happen like this, but this is how I make myself understand it. God said, well, is Baggy gonna quit because nobody seemed to be coming? Is the choir gonna stop singing because it looks like everybody's nodding off, going to sleep? What are they gonna do? You just got to stay there. You got to know that everybody else that's in worship service are not participators. There's only one spectator, and you are not the spectator. I don't care how holy you are. I'm not preaching to for you. I'm preaching for God, because he blessed me. He brought me. I persevered, and I'm staying with him. I'm not going to quit, because he brought me too far for me to leave him now. He's already there in Sunday school this morning. Is the Holy Spirit with you when you walk off and you leave God and you go back to doing what you were doing? Yes, he's there. You just have put him on the back burner. It's like when you cook dinner and nobody's home to eat it. You turn the fire down as low as you can turn it down just to try to keep it warm so it won't be difficult to heat up. That's the way we do the Holy Spirit. Somebody says sometime somebody make you mad, you're going to lay your religion down. No, the Holy Spirit's still there. Once he inhabits you, he won't leave you. He'll stay right there. That's what this woman depended on. She had to be a child of God because she kept going back no matter what happened to her. Brothers and sisters, I stopped by to tell you there's a lesson in persevering in prayer. You just got to stay there. Stay doing what God would have you to do, and then things seem to be all right, but you got to stay there. You got to bear under the trials and the temptations that come your way. Persecution. If you stay and you are being persecuted, you will become a dynamic witness for the Lord. People won't understand why you keep standing. But by and by, look at this widow woman more than 2,000 years later, and here we are talking about her. Look like at the beginning she's a failure, but she's not. She's there. She's a success because she stayed with God. The presence and the power of Christ is sufficient to help the believer stand faithfully when everything seemed to be going wrong and nobody seem to believe that you're right. If you're standing on the word of God, it won't move. Everything around you might move, but you got to stand on the word of God, and God will provide just what you need. Might not seem like it. Somebody said he's never late. He's always on time. He might not come when you want him, but he'll be right there. You got to stay there, because God is a good God, and he will not leave you. I just love the way God does things. I might not like it in my flesh, but in my spirit, God is a good God, and he won't ever change. My last point, point number four, the great tragedy. We are living in the great tragedy now, because in the last days, few people will persevere in prayer. We just give up. We throw up both hands. We put our Bibles down. We put our song books down. And we go back to doing what we were doing before. You didn't stay long enough. You got to stay right there. You got to tarry. You got to tarry. You got to stay there. And know that God will provide just what you need. You got to persevere in prayer. Prayer, and you got to have faith. Prayer and faith are intertwined, just like a cord, a two-cord rope is harder to break than a one. If you get the two cords of prayer and faith, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will come in and make it a three-cord rope, and it'll be harder to break. See, you got to stay there. God, in his word, he wants us to trust him and believe in him and believe in his word, believe in his promises and in his warnings. God made a promise. He said, I will not leave you, not forsake you. I'll be right there. See, but you got to know that you got to stay there. You can't leave. Faith and persevering are tied together. The person that truly has faith and truly prays and believe in God, God will stop to see about you. He'll come when you least expect him to, when you get ready to give up. I challenge you to stay there another day, and after that day in, I challenge you to stay another day, because God won't leave you, nor will he neglect you, nor let you do anything. Get in a place where he can't find you. They used to sing a song, he reached way down and found me where I am. Wherever you are, God can find you in your situation. He'll take you out of your situation, but you got to have faith, and you got to believe, and you got to persevere. If it was real easy being a child of God, if you'd have come in here at 11:15, you'd have had to wait. It's not easy. It's not easy. God's willing, but we are not. In this day and time, there's so many things to take us away from God. Everything is to take us away from where we are. But you got to have faith, and you got to persevere. And in my conclusion, what Jesus is saying is, when you come to God in prayer, what do you think about God? Do you think he is the unjust judge? Do you think when you come to him, do you think he is a cheap politician that you can win over with a large contribution to his campaign? Do you think God is doing things just because of who your parents are? My friend, if you think this, you are wrong. God is not the unjust judge. If the unjust judge would hear the poor widow woman, because she kept coming continually, then why do you think that God wouldn't hear you if you don't get discouraged. Rejection sometimes is just to see what you're going to do. I don't mean God does that. But a lot of times some rejections that you receive is just to see if you're for real about what you're trying to do. You got to stay there. You have to persevere. And if you're walking with God, everything will come out all right. Might not seem like it. You might not like the end results. But if you stay with God, God will provide just what you need. You remember Jacob wrestling with the angels, don't you? You remember the end of the story, don't you? The angels said, turn me loose. Let me go. It's getting close to day. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He persevered. Angel wanted him to turn him loose, but he stayed right there with him. You remember Elijah on the mountain of prayer with all those different people, those different prophets there, don't you? He said, pray and talk to your God and get him to burn up this. And it never did happen, but he prayed. All the while that they were praying, he was standing there. When it come his time, he did what he was supposed to do. And I know you know this, but he said the God that comes by fire will be the God of the people. And there were some magicians around. They had a thing that they could fool people. They put some stuff in there on the wood and all that if they just did put some extra air with it, it would burst up in flame. Elijah, he took and wet it all around it with 12 barrels of water. And then when imagine this. This is the altar right here, and all this is the stuff right here, and this is the ground. His fire started where the water was, and it burnt upward. So therefore they would know that there was no magician trick in it. That's the God, because he prayed to the God. If you persevere in prayer, God will provide just what you need. And then again, I'm trying to quit y'all, but the Phoenician, the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus when he was in Gentile territory, she told him, she said, my daughter is sick. And she wasn't even a Jew. And Jesus said, this day, your daughter is healed. And then the one that I really want you to get is the woman with the issue of blood. She had the issue of blood for a long time. Had spent all of her money going to different doctors and nobody could help her. But then she got a message. She heard about a man called Jesus. They said he's coming to town. She said, if I can just press my way, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And in the Bible, when it says, she kept right on saying, if I could just but touch, if I could just but touch. She said it more than one time. It was down on the inside of her spirit. She just kept saying, if I could just but touch. It's in her. She want to touch him. Because she knew that if she persevered and touched him, that God would provide. Brothers and sisters, if you think that your prayers are in the dead prayer pile, you need to keep on praying. You need to keep on praying. And I didn't have a story, but I saw this, what's on the inside of this right here, and I got one. Push. Back in the yesterdays, there was a man that lived out in the country. And there was a big boulder in front of his house about 5 feet tall and about this big around. There was no way he could move it. He was a believer. And he prayed to God about it. And in his spirit, God told him to just beat on the stone. Just beat on it. He got a sledgehammer. And he went out there, and for every day, he's standing there just beating on that rock. Just beating on that rock all day long. Did that for 10 or 15 or 20 days, and nothing happened to the rock. And he went back to God. God, you said that if I beat on that rock, there would be a change. God said, yeah. He said, I don't see no change. I don't see a change. God told him, said, go to the mirror. Oh, I forgot to tell you something. Before, when he first started beating on that rock, he was about 5'10", weighed about 220. He beat on that rock, and so he when God told him to go to the mirror and look in the mirror, he went in the mirror, took off his shirt, and muscles were all over him. He was ripped. He had a six-pack. Yeah, uh-huh. Had arms that looked like Charles Atlas. But he couldn't see the change. God doesn't have to tell you where the change is going to come. But you got to believe him, knowing that a change is going to come. So the next morning, he gets up and go out there at the rock, look at it, picks up his hammer, draw back to hit it. The rock split open before he hit it. The moral of the story is that if he would not have kept hidden on that rock, it would not have busted open. Oh, I forgot to tell you. In the center of the rock was a gold nugget. When you constantly stay in prayer, God will bless you in whatever you're doing. Push, pray until something happens. Most of us want to quit, but just before the break of day, stay there until daylight so you can see the blessing that God have in store for you. My question to you again is, are your prayers in the dead prayer pile? With that, we'll extend an invitation for you to come to Christ. If you do not know him as Lord and Savior, and you just may be the person that everybody felt like that God couldn't save you, but somebody's persevering in prayer for your soul, and you need to come to Christ today. Come to Christ and depend on Christ to do what he said he would do. Expect him to. Give his word back to him. Nehemiah told him, said, God, you promised us. You told Moses that if we didn't do right, you would scatter us, God. And you did scatter us. But God, we're doing what you said now. So will you bring us back together? And God brought them back together. So you got to stay with God. Will you come? Will you come to Christ? Christ will save your soul. Will you come? Come to Christ today. He will save you. I can't, but I can lead you to who can. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.
Not anything I done, Lord, as far as I can see. Yes, I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me. Sometimes I think about the things you have done for me. How you shout. Then I look back on my life. I haven't always done right. Still goodness and mercy follows me every day of my life. Hallelujah, I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see. How you shout down your blessings on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, far as I can see. Yes, I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me. When I thought about giving up, you said trust in me. If you hold on and faint not, keep your faith in me. Lord, you don't see me like I am. You see me like I'm gonna be. So I believe I'll run on, see what the end's gonna be. Hallelujah, I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see. How you shout down your blessing, your blessings on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Yes, I'm too close to the mirror, too close to the mirror, too close to the mirror to see what you see in me.
Amen.